how do you like the anti-bomb fleet, Urban?
Cool. Are all those ships going to be in battle today?
Sure.
Hey, I hear they made you Supreme Commander for the invasion.
I'm the SC.
So can you introduce me to all the fleet commanders, so if I see them in space, I can say hi?
Sure, but some of those goons have funny names.
Yeah, they give those goons some awfully funny names.
Who's the fleet commander of the first fleet, what's the fleet commander of the second fleet, and I don't know leads the third fleet?
You in charge?
Sure.
You don't know the FC's names?
I should.
Well, tell me the guy's name.
Who's in first, what's in second, and I don't know who's in third?
You're the SC?
Yeah.
You don't know the guy's names?
I'm telling you their names.
Well, who's in first?
Who?
The guy in first.
Who?
The guy in first.
Who?
The guy leading the first fleet.
Who?
The guy in first.
Who? Who is in first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
You're not telling me anything. I'm asking you who's in first.
That's it.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy in the first fleet.
That's the man's name.
Whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who is in first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you who's in first.
That's right.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
What's the name of the guy in first?
No, what's in second?
I'm not asking you who's in second.
Who's in first?
That's what I'm asking. I asked you a simple question. What's the guy's name in the first fleet?
What's in second fleet?
I'm not asking you who's in second.
Who is in first?
I don't know.
No, he's in third fleet.
When you give out the swag to the first fleet every month, who'd you give the money to?
Every ISK.
Okay, yeah. But you got to pay the money to somebody in the first fleet, right?
Yeah.
Does he give you a receipt?
Sure.
How does he sign the receipt?
Who?
The guy you give the ISK to.
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Who?
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's how he signs it.
That's how who signs it?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
When you give the guy the money, how does he sign the receipt?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Who?
The guy you give the ISK to.
That is how he signs it.
That's how who signs it.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, when you give the guy money, does he sign a receipt?
Yes.
And how does he sign it?
Who?
The guy you give the money to!
Alright, now calm down.
Look, you don't give money to somebody without getting them to sign a receipt.
Who signs it?
What are you asking me for?
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you.
What's the guy's name who signs the receipt?
What signs his own receipt?
Who signs his own receipt?
No, who signs his?
Look, all I want to know is what's the name of the guy leading the first fleet?
No, what's leading the second fleet?
I'm not asking you who's in the second fleet.
Who's in first?
I don't know.
Third fleet!
Hello and welcome to the Warp Drive Active podcast, ripping off a brilliant Abbott and Costello routines, which have got very little Eve relevance if you think about it. But it's a great sketch, isn't it, Mr. Winterblink, sir?
Yes, we made it relevant.
Vaguely.
We try our best.
Yes. Emphasis on trying.
Yeah.
Anyway, how was your week, sir?
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oh, it's busy. Busy, 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 busy. Busy with work. But I have been doing a god-awful lot of ratting. I needed the ISK, so that's been good to do. Well, it's not the best way to make an ISK in EVE, obviously, but it works in a pinch. What have you been up to?
I have defined a new concept in Epic Fail.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a new and highly epic achievement on my part, and well, let me just relate the tale to you now. Regular listeners, and you of course, will know that I got myself an iPod Touch a couple of weeks ago, and I use it at work quite a bit, you know, when you're sitting there coding. Well, it was after lunch on Thursday afternoon last week, and I'd been working, had my lunch, and I felt the urge to go and take a rather large poo, a really magnificent poo, if you know what I mean, a really satisfying bowel movement.
Oh my god.
And also I thought, what better way for my bowel movement would be to have some suitable background music with me. So I took my iPod with me, I headed over to the toilets, deciding on the way that the ideal background music will be the 2001 theme.
Oh, oh my my god.
So I go into the toilet, go into the stall, take the iPod out of my pocket and put my jacket on the hook behind the door, as you do, and put the iPod on the kind of industrial toilet roll dispenser, put the earphones in just to get ready for it. Just as I was about to turn round and pull down my kecks, yeah, ready for such a wonderful, satisfying dump, I managed to somehow clip the earphone cable, and it managed to cartwheel my iPod Touch in a beautiful parabola arc, being caught on the cable, which just happened to then release at the precise angle to drop it right in the middle of the toilet bowl. Straight down the middle. In a way that Michael Jordan would have been proud of.
So you did a Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible 3, the whole fulcrum bit? Oh, man.
I have no idea what you're talking about there, but anyway. So, splop right in the middle of the toilet. The iPod is... Yeah, I did actually reach in and rescue it, because that's a rather expensive thing to leave there, and pulled it out, and funnily enough, it wasn't working. The screen was just sort of this milky white colour, and it just, you know, nothing happened with it, and now the battery's dead.
Oh god, the jokes! Oh god, the jokes. My head is about to explode.
So anytime you feel I'm being a bit cruel to the MC this week, feel free to remind me of the tale of my bog pod.
Right, then. So, oh my god, I don't even know where to start with this one. So, you know what?
There is a little bit of a postscript. I phoned up Apple and just claimed that it had broken. It was in my pocket the whole time, Your Honor, and it just stopped working, and I don't know why, and it doesn't do anything when I plug it into the USB. So I've got to actually take it down to an Apple place this weekend, and they're going to look at it. So we'll see whether I can actually get away with my lie there or not.
Oh, wow.
I will tell you next episode whether that one works or not. But yeah, I didn't actually tell you this beforehand because I wanted your reaction on the podcast.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to leave this one up to the viewers, listeners, whatever.
This would have been a great one for the viewers if there was anything present. Just the absolute perfection of the arc. It didn't touch the sides or anything. Just this 150 quid worth of iPod, more actually, come to think of it, nearly 200 quid worth of iPod in a perfect parabola, dropping right in the middle of the toilet bowl.
Oh my god, why would somebody be watching you do this? No. Anyway.
Yes, I hope there aren't any cameras in the gents toilets of my company.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to leave this one up to the listeners to take care of on the forums. This seems right up there, right up the forums alley. I'll forego making any kind of like monolith jokes, any kind of like, you know, moon jokes, you know, because there's a moon in 2001. I guess that would actually kind of fit with a bit where the monkey throws the bone in the air and it's kind of pirouetting in the air. This might kind of go with here. Anyway, Eve!
No, but can I just, before we go off the subject, can I just say that does truly redefine the phrase epic fail, doesn't it?
Oh man. It's like a log jam in my head right now. The jokes have all just like bang.
Oh, pardon the pun here.
Oh, yeah, indeed. At first I thought you were gonna like make some kind of joke about how maybe you had like a double cheese pizza the night before and there was gonna be an open the pod bay door hell kind of thing, like, and it would just
No.
Anyway, I thought you were going to go in that direction, and you went somewhere completely different with that. And now I'm just not going to be able to shake your hand at the next BandFest, I'm afraid. Oh.
Would you want to anyway, even without that story?
I'll bring a rubber glove. Can we please move on?
Hey, what you do in the privacy of your own hotel room is your business.
Anyway, can we please, for the love of Christ, get off this subject and move on to Eve? Oh, God.
All right.
Oh.
In-game news. Right.
Yes, in-game news. Boy.
First up, our little friends at Goomswarm are clearly feeling the Bobbits are a bit too much of a hard target at the minute, and they're going after Exhumers in Empire.
You know, have you been following this on the forums? Because there's been all sorts of rabblage going on about this. And
CCSP, it shouldn't be allowed.
I mean, not even the should it be allowed thing. The most absurd thing I've heard so far was somebody who went off on how it was offensive, calling it a jihad. Like, please, come on.
Goomswarm Killboard is jihadswarm.com, isn't it?
Yeah, well, have you seen the video that they put up? They have a video on YouTube. It's done like some kind of, you know, Al-Qaeda video or something, some kind of propaganda video. I mean, it's such a goon thing. But, I mean, it's okay in that regard. I was kind of like, yeah, okay, that may be kind of going a bit too far. But, I don't know, man. I'm not going to sit there and take offense at it like, I don't know, some kind of pussy. I just think people are way too sensitive. Seriously, man. I mean, aren't people taking that a little too far? I mean, like, just kind of going, oh my god, I take offense at this. It's real world politics coming into game. No, it's not. Like, it's so not.
It's goons being goons. Yeah. That's all it is.
So, but anyway, what's your take on this? What do you think of this whole business? Before I tell you my take.
Okay, my take on this is it's goons getting bored. And that's basically it. They're not, you know, they need something to do, and they need to get their name in the papers, or, well, I'm sure this is in Eve Tribune, of course, but, by the way, go to Eve Tribune and read it, because it's excellent, and get in the front page news on such clever and intelligent podcasts as this one.
Indeed.
Yes, we don't just destroy iPods for no good reason.
Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, my take is goons have got a bit bored with, you know, the kind of stalemate going on down in Bob space. It's just something for them to do to cause trouble. And let's face it, goon tactics are pretty much designed for suicide kills in Empire, which is what they're doing. And I've got absolutely no problem with some of these kills, given that their names are Splutty12397, which kind of suggests farmer to me. So...
yes.
If they're taking out farmers. Fair play. Good job, the Goonswarm. Actually, in that case, good job.
To be honest, the whole thing in general, I actually kind of think is pretty good. Like, you know, in terms of like really educating people that, and this is very important for new players to understand. There is no 100% safe place in Eve other than docked in a station and never coming out. I mean, it's like.
That's not necessarily even 100% safe, though.
That's true. GMs can still get at you. But, I mean, in general, though, I mean, you think you're mining in a nice high-security system, all safe and sound. Not so. I mean, it doesn't take much to suicide gank somebody in this case. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of...
That's one of the reasons why my main has got such a bad security low status, because back in the day... we used to get suicide kessies and pop the farmers in Jitter.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great fun. And the only trouble is you end up -9 very quickly doing that, which I did.
It really doesn't take much, and it is pretty fun. But, I mean, it's... I don't know, man. People are really going bonkers on this on the forums, and... I don't know. I'd have to say it's kind of it's an interesting thing to do. It's different. They're exposing... A couple things in this regard. Like I said, the one that it's not obviously not 100% safe anywhere in Eve. But the other thing is that, yeah, you can do suicide ganking. And I guess there's people out there who do kind of consider that to be a busted mechanic of some kind. I don't think so, to be honest.
I don't think so either.
I think
there should be something maybe a little bit more intelligent to do with it. But at the end of the day, somebody suicide ganks you, you've got kill rights on them, which you can then, you know, sell on as a commodity, or you'll get somebody else to take them down.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think one of the videos they were showing, I mean, they were doing this in battleships, so it's not like they're losing frigates over this. I mean, there's a hefty bit of ISK being, you know... Well, can I say flush down the drain after our intro bit of the podcast? But I'm just...
Shut up!
I'm just going to say that that's a lot of ISK being kind of, you know, tossed in the toilet. So,
Well, suicide gank ships, I mean, Dommies were quite a popular choice for battleships, taking out freighters back in the day, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't fly do this in Empire anymore. The suicide Kessie-tastic doesn't really work anymore, guys, in case anyone wants to try it. It worked really well back in the day, but then they nerfed it.
Depends on your target, but yes, it is generally not, I think, typically what people are going for.
It's not the instant I win, then instant I lose button it used to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're doing it with not exactly free equipment. It's definitely not noob frigates. But still, I don't know, I gotta kind of give props for it. It's something that's interesting, I guess, and if you're bored as a large entity, why the hell not? And more power to them if they're taking out, you know, obviously macro miners, Scourge the Galaxy,
here, here.
I guess, you know, in my opinion, but...
Yeah, I mean, obviously not everybody they're taking out is a macro miner, but hey, you can't make an omelet without breaking egg.
Yeah, well, no, and I mean... The thread's been going bananas, and I think I posted in there. Some people were like, "Oh, what's the solution to this?" So I'm like, "So they can set standards." You know, people are starting threads like, "Well, what's the solution to this?" And I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, "Well, just set some standings and pay attention to local. See a bunch of goons come in, run." Especially if you're in a Hulk.
Yes, but, pay attention is always a good idea in Eve.
Yeah, but this is the idea that it's like, you know, they're taking out people who aren't paying attention, who are just kind of out there, you know, AFK mining, macro mining, whatever. And yeah, sorry, there's a counter to that, and that is what goons are doing. Yeah, exactly.
So did they actually state their reasons for doing it, apart from they said it? Somebody said it's a holy war, and let's find who said that. It's one of the goon guys in the thread. Cartoon, K-A-R-T-T-O-O-N. I like your name, sir. Goes, this is a holy war. To the op. Every ship you see on a kill mill was lost. End of thread. Well, it wasn't the end of the thread. Another 25 odd pages after that. But yeah, end of the day, you know. Is there a reason goons are doing this? I mean, obviously the roleplay, in inverted commas, reason is it's a holy war, a jihad against people who mine rocks, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Bastards.
I mean, does there have to be a reason? I mean, really?
Presumably there's some reason, not necessarily a good one. There's presumably some reason of some sort. And my guess will be, and don't take this as gospel, anybody, right, my guess will be that they're bored currently, Goonsorb, and want to do something to cause trouble.
Maybe, who knows? I don't know. I can't think of any other reason myself, but other than just because, and really, why not?
Because we're goons.
But because they are. I mean, there's certainly enough of them that they can still be doing things in other areas of the galaxy and still have a pretty sizable bunch running around jihading all over Empire. I don't know. All I know is when I first heard about this, I was cracking up at work because I'm going, God, this is such an Eve moment. This will be one of these things that people talk about like 3 years from now. Remember when goons went and destroyed all the Hulks in Empire? You know, it's a moment. Enjoy it.
They do a zombie into Jitter. The lag fest that it is.
Oh god. I avoid that place like the plague.
So we're saying Jihad Swarm. Firstly, we are not offended by it. We in fact find it quite amusing. Part one. Part two, keep killing the bloody macroers. We will support anybody who wants to do a holy war against macro miners.
And even a non-holy war. Just find them and kill them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kick their asses.
Indeed. I mean, it's... Again, these guys typically think they can get away with it and they're protected being a member of a noob corp. Yeah, not so much.
So in Tortuga, the mighty Tuga, the MC sleeps tonight.
Oh.
I whip away, I whip away. Pretty much that, though, isn't it? You're not doing a whole lot.
Meh, not much. Not much going on right now. Just like last couple weeks, everyone's just kind of just chilling. So
playing Sins of a Solar Empire.
Not so much, not me at least. I've been doing some Team Fortress, but yeah, not so much that. Not for me at least. Call of Duty 4, I've seen some people have been playing, yeah, but meh.
Meh. Nothing much happening in Bob Space then, which is a bit of a shame, because it looked like they're on the ropes not too long ago, and they seem to have stabilised the situation. Would you agree?
It seems like it to me.
Nol is back in Bob hands, and doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon.
No.
Unlike the Alamo TWD.
No, I know there was some craziness that was happening in and around like the C3N area earlier this week. That MC was in and involved in. Unfortunately, it happens during UK hours, and I can never really attend these things because I work for a living. But yeah, that was kind of interesting. Not too much to like. I mean, it's still there. So meh. There's still action happening down in this area of space. So just something to keep an eye on, I guess, as things go forward. There was some news that came out this week that Evoke was moving out, I believe it was, from the area. It was announced at some point.
I mean, certain of my MC friends were not too impressed with them. Nice videos, but they weren't that impressed with them. They're more impressed. They thought they were quite impressed with KIA, really. I'm not going to say who these names are. But actually, I might do just to start a civil war.
I mean, it's, as far as I know, this is not due to any kind of, like, infighting or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, forum rabbling, no doubt, you know, might have occurred at some point on this. I really don't care what people in code have to say about it. But, yes, from what I know of the whole thing, it's not like everything's falling apart. Oh, my God. No, nothing like that. So, I wouldn't be too overly concerned.
So moving up to the north, where the madness continues, it looks like Morris Mihi, waiting for Bite Me, something like my favourite fact about them, I've decided. they're kicking off against Insurgency now, up there sort of in the southwest of Tenal. No, it's actually more Venal areas, and sort of north Venal area. It's to the southwest of Razor. So, yeah, how do you look at this? I mean, Morris Mihi are one of the major players up in the north.
They are indeed. Boy. You know, trying to predict how something will go in the north is, like, impossible. But
well, I'm gonna make a call on this. Now, I like Insurgency. C4W3, I wouldn't say he's a good friend of mine, but he is a friend of mine. I've chatted to him a few times, and he also did the very cool video. He's in Corp 1 All-Stars. So it grieves me to say this, but I reckon Morris Mihi will steamroller them. They've got the numbers, and they've got the skills. I'm not saying Insurgency are badly skilled. They're not. But, you know, numbers count for something.
Numbers do count for something. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know what... I mean, Insurgency, do they have friends? Presumably have friends, because they're sitting right next to Razor and haven't been killed by them. So, I mean, maybe it's possible this might become a much larger conflict?
That's possible. However, whether you'd stick your neck out for them... Because, I mean, Razor and Morris Mihi are, they're not on as good terms as they used to be. They used to be very, very firm allies in the sort of, Goonstorm and Red style. You know what I mean? Very, very firm allies. And, you know, very, very clear, planned out spheres of influence and stuff. And that was one of the reasons why they managed to hold off Triumvirate. But, here and now, I imagine Razor is not getting involved in this.
Eh, who knows? Target of opportunity, perhaps, while someone's distracted, perhaps. Who knows? It's the North. I know I'm so prone to saying that about the North, but it is the North. So, I mean, who knows? These things tend to start small and get huge, big, and really fast. And it's just... Or maybe it'll just fizzle out. Who knows? I mean, it's almost impossible to predict at this point. I think it's just started, right? This week or something?
Yeah, it's just kicked off. Somebody actually posted... And let me get you the name of the guy... wrong one. Multi-spec from the Corp the Goods, who I've never heard of.
It's obviously an alt.
It's obviously an alt. Actually got this off of the Morris Mihi forums. He claims that on the 4th of March, which is going to be about 3 or 4 days when the show comes out, depending on how quickly I edit the damn thing. Mm-hmm. Based on that, he reckons... Based on that, yeah, they're going to do a standings reset, and with a view to full-on attacks.
Hmm.
Now, there isn't really anything particularly worth having up there, so I reckon this is personal. At least compared to, you know, because they got Tribute, which is a much richer area to a certain extent than sort of North Tenal. It's all NPC stations and madness, a lot of Venal and Tenal, isn't it?
Well, I'll have to take your word on it. I'm not too much familiar with the North in terms of what they have up there.
Well, put it this way. If I'm wrong, somebody in the forums will tear me a new one, so...
Yeah, or they'll just listen and scoff and, you know, move on. I don't know. Again, these things, I like seeing what the North does. I just don't think we can really call it right now. Let's see.
I would say that Mohazmihi will probably win this one, and it pains me to say it, because I like both of them, and why can't they just be friends? Why can't everyone just all get along?
Who knows, but...
Go to Empire! Go to Empire and get your Exhumas killed by the goons.
I imagine the people thinking that way are, like, you know, in terms of, like, why can't we all just get along, have already signed up for the Hello Kitty online beta. How is that, by the way?
Wow, that is so much fun.
Excellent.
Have you seen the Hello Kitty Darth Vader, by the way?
No. If it has Hello Kitty in it, chances are I've ignored it.
No, Blinky, you'll have to see this.
All right, maybe at some point I will. Okay, so what else we got?
No. You are not allowed to go anywhere until you look at this picture. It's in your MSN.
Boy. All right, let's see. It sort of is. There it is. Huh. That's very, very horrible. I don't know what else to say about that. That's pretty bad.
Why would you dress up like that? I mean, it's kind of just messed up cosplay on every level.
I'll tell you why. Because it's all over the internet right now. That's okay. Why you do it.
Yes, you get mentioned on EVE-related podcasts. How good is that?
If it gets mentioned here, chances are it's everywhere. No, but, that's the only way that I could see for that. I mean,
you know what I reckon that is? Oh, apparently it's not real after all.
Someone just...
Somebody photoshopped it.
Oh, because that's never happened before.
Yeah, that's good photoshopping, if that's true.
I'd be surprised what you could do with it, but meh.
But you are the Uber Photoshop master.
You can do some pretty amazing things with Photoshop. But yeah, that's still very, very horrible. Very needless. People didn't really need to do that.
Speaking of your elite Photoshop skills, new Warp Drive Active comic is out.
Yes, it is, and you are far too kind.
Well, I like it because it's kind of based on one of my favorite movies, which is Apocalypse Now. Check out the picture, and if you've seen the movie, it will all make sense to you.
Or maybe it won't, but that's somewhat of an effect of Apocalypse Now as well. Great movie, though. Great movie.
Great visuals in that movie, yeah. Maybe that'll be a homework assignment one day.
Indeed. Maybe.
But not this week, I wouldn't imagine, but it's your turn. But anyway, you're going to find out about that in about half an hour or so, because it's time for the discussion point.
Oh my god, discussion point.
Da, da, da.
What will we be discussing today, Urban?
Well, seeing as it's the tournament and it's EVE TV, and we tried to get some experts together to do a preview show and it didn't actually work, maybe we should... If we'd have thought about things, which we really don't do very well, do we?
We try.
Yeah, well, we didn't manage to do it. We could have got, like, Croven and, like, Crazy Canucks or somebody to do us a tournament preview show.
Dude, but those guys are way too busy podcasting their balls off right now. So, yeah, I think it'd be, like, almost impossible. Croven, he's, like, doing, like, signing sessions down at the mall and stuff. I don't think we're ever going to get him back on our podcast now.
We will have to kidnap him and drag him back and say, no, you will talk intelligently because we can't manage it without you. All we can do is throw iPods in toilets.
Moving along. About that discussion point.
Yeah, so yeah, ETV is back and the tournament is back and you guys are sucking ass.
Speaking about ass... I heard something this week about you and a toilet and iPod Touch.
going back, yes, okay. The iPod Touch did not go near my ass at any stage of the operation or any time before or since. Let me just be very clear on that right now. No, but seriously, you went for some very off-the-wall setups, I'm sure you'll agree.
They were different, I'll agree with that. Yeah, it was, I don't think anyone's going to argue the point that MC usually doesn't join these things and necessarily go with conventional setups that one might imagine in a tournament.
The Nano Mercurial springs to mind here.
But we're still talking about that one. Tell me that wasn't absolute pure entertainment, though. Watching it get heel zeroed for flying out of bounds. I believe that was the one where you scream like a pussy on my MSN about losing money. Was that the one? I think that was.
No! I think that's actually most of them where I bet on you, which is why I haven't bet on you this time.
I believe the quote was, "No!" but, yeah, I mean, it's, personally, and this is just me, and I know, you know, you could claim bias on this, but I mean, in a general sense, I do like seeing oddball setups and how they operate in the tournament, because, you know, there's some givens, you know, in terms of what people do, like the heavy logistics type of stuff that you'll see, and it's easy to kind of go that route. I think it's a lot more interesting to try something to surprise the other team. This is just, I guess, in that respect, it's like PvP and EVE. I mean, like, there's some generic setups that you know people are going to go with, depending on whatever ship they're using, but it is interesting when you do something interesting on your ship that might not necessarily be thought of by the other person, and vice versa. So, who knows? I mean, God forbid someone should try something different in a tournament. But, I mean, in this case, it didn't work out. So, them's the breaks, I guess.
Can I make another point here?
Sure.
You'll be glad to hear you're doing better than when Fat Kids Attack.
Well, you know.
Actually, to be fair, Fat Kids Attack are kind of a jokey team, but Smash Alliance, who, I wouldn't say favoured themselves, but they would have looked in that group and thought, you know, hey, we could do this. They have played three, lost three, points zero, and what's more, their matches have been incredibly dull.
Oh, so I can't recall anyone in particular. Maybe that's a sign of how dull they were.
They were the ones where they clicked back to the studio and they panned across everyone being asleep. And I did say this last week. I did say Smash shouldn't be in it because they were boring on the second tournament. And yet again, they are boring now. They're just trying to set up a massive spider tanking operation.
Why not? Honestly. Seriously.
Because it doesn't work for the whole time. They'll screw up at some stage, or, you know, somebody will run out of cap charges, and then it all falls to pieces and you get no points. Hence the fact, why not?
But this was the I win button in the last tournament, so it stands to reason that you're going to see people apply the same thing, at very least, in the first weekend, to see how it works out.
No, not in the last tournament. I will agree in the, this is going back a long way, but the second Alliance tournament, spider tanking like that was the I win button. The I win button in the last tournament was the 10 Ishtars.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. But that wasn't what won the cup, right? That's not what won the cup, right? If you're talking Hun Reloaded, they were in there with a heavy logistics, and like, they had stealth bombers going. Like, yeah, there was, if I recall correctly, that's...
Yeah, Manticores and...
That was it. And Basilisks and stuff like that.
Basilisk, yeah.
So, I mean, this is not some kind of necessarily an oddball setup. I mean, it's interesting. And I mean, certainly isn't unique to Smash. I mean, half the damn teams came in with this. And I'm not saying it's a bad tactic. It's a... Depending... I mean, this, I guess, needs to be said about the tournament. I mean, you don't know what the other team's going to be fielding. You know potentially what they are by watching a match that they might have done before, but they could pull anything out of their butts at the last minute. You have no idea. So you go in with what you think is going to work. You might get stuck against a team that will completely mop the floor with you, or you might do that to them. I mean, it's kind of hit and miss whether or not your setup's going to match or, you know, completely own the other guys. It's, you know, you can't fault someone for being boring when it's just that's the way the match goes.
I agree there. I mean, obviously we like to see massive amounts of DPS getting thrown around, but on the other hand, then if every match is over in 2 minutes, you're sitting around a lot, aren't you?
Yes, you are. And then it's back to the couches. But, you know, for 50...
More on that in a bit.
Yes. But, honestly, I really enjoy the tournaments, even the oddball setups. I mean, yeah, there's been some strange things afoot in the tournaments. I mean, personally...
So who's really impressed you? Who's really impressed you? Go on.
Who's... Oh, God. And I should really have a decent immediate answer on this, seeing I was there for the fights on day 2 and 3.
Shall I do some of mine?
Well, I think actually one of the ones that surprised me was the church, actually, oddly enough.
Didn't surprise me. Those guys are class. They're a real quality team.
Well, I mean, to me, I had no idea who they were. And it was, you know, I thought it was like, oh, you know, well, let's see how these guys do. And I thought their match was a blast. I mean, it was just like the one, oh, God, what was it that they had? It was, I think
very
that was...
a cinematic match, wasn't it? Yeah.
What?
I think it was if I remember rightly, it's a very cinematic match.
It was like a ton of... I think it was a ton of thoraxes or demolition. Anyways, it was great. It was awesome to watch. I mean, so stuff like that was really entertaining. And actually, goons have been doing really well. I mean, I was pretty impressed with some of their stuff. Normally, they kind of just kind of
maths right this time.
Yeah, well, there's that. But you know, goons kind of you know, to some extent, tend to come out and look like they're just there to screw around, which, for whatever reason, I mean, that's cool if that's their goal, if they want to do that. But yeah, they've been making a really good effort in this go, and I thought it's paid off. I think they've done a great job.
Well, yeah, to be fair, but on the other hand, they've only got 193 points out of 3 matches, which really isn't, you know, they're going to need a total hell, death, and help to go through, really, at this stage. But Group G, I mean, you've got Nebula Rasa, who are very good small gang pirates generally, and if you combine the fact that they've got tournament pedigree as well, you know, that's a tough group. I mean,
well, I'm just saying,
Legion there, but they're doing better than Hun Reloaded, although that's not the actual Hun Reloaded team we saw last time. The actual Hun Reloaded team we saw last time is a Green Alliance now, who have been kicking ass and taking names.
Yes, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, Group G is not, like, you know, they're not, like, lightweights in general, the rest of the guys there. So, I mean, I think they've held up pretty well. That's just
I mean, you know, we like the goons doing maths properly. Let's be fair.
Yeah. For those who might not remember, this whole business was, like, was it last tournament or tournament before? Where they ended up showing up with, like, you're limited to, like, 100 points or something, like, yeah, in ships, because ships are all assigned arbitrary, you know, point values. Not necessarily arbitrary, but it's, like, you know, they're calculated point values, so you can have up to 100 points, and Goon showed up with, like, 105 and got disqualified. It's just, like, whoops. So, yeah, that was a pretty good running joke for a while, but, yeah, this time, at least, they kind of, I think they did well in the math sessions.
They did a lot better, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of ship combinations? I mean, we kind of know that the dual logistics setup seems to be doing quite well, but it doesn't really impress me as a tactic. This quite leads to quite boring matches because the DPS is that much less. So what sort of ship tactics have impressed you?
Well, I mean, I'm a Galante pilot, so when I see a whole ton of, like, Deimoses screaming in and getting in for that bloodying the nose tactic of point blank.
Oh, blasted Deimoses point blank.
Honestly, those those moments have been utterly epic. To see, I mean, it's like, for those who don't know, I've been for day 2 and 3. I was actually in the systems, you know, cloaked in a Helios, taking snapshots, and well, I guess we'll probably talk a bit on that later. So I was able to get, like, pretty up close and personal in terms of, like, actually seeing the fights, which is a little bit different than what the stream shows. And yeah, that stuff looks amazing, is watching, like, just a ton of Deimoses screaming in at full micro warp drives and just getting in super close and just dispensing the DPS. That being said, I mean, those types of fights are really exciting, I think, because depending what you're going up against, that may not work out for you too well, as some people have found out, you know, where you can just get webbed and dealt with by a bunch of, say, Megathrons with neutron blasters. So, It's very entertaining to watch those matches because it is kind of, you know, depending on what team you're going against, can go either way. Anyway, that's, I like that, plus any kind of, like, some of the matches where it's like really, really heavy drone usage are always really fun because, you know, all it takes is one guy with a smart bomb and, it's, and you get a nice, pretty, pretty light show of drones going poof.
Oh, God, but yeah.
I still think the probably the favorite fight so far, at least for just sheer, I don't know, tactics. I forget who it was. Maybe you can remember, because it was all just a blur for me, because I was just so frantically posting snapshots on the web. But there was the one where they had... there's the two teams that were coming out, and there was very, very heavy EW drones out. And it was all a matter of, like, I think one team, I forget who it was, just was, like, really patient, waited for everyone to get their drones out and get in close range. They nuked them with a massive smart bomb and then dumped their own out on that team who didn't have smart bombs and spanked them hard. And it was actually...
I think that was Kia did that. I think that was Kia v. Morse Mihi.
Yeah, that's one. And that was a great match to watch because it was just... It was tactics winning out over just sheer, you know, run in there and massively out DPS somebody. They kind of waited. They... You know, kind of bided their time a little bit to see what the other guys had and then reacted accordingly. I think that must have been... that would have been a really cool sort of moment to be a fly on the wall in their team speak to hear how the fleet commander was going. Well, I mean, not just the woohoo, but just to... I mean, I'm sure it was quite an interesting thing. He probably was having to reel his guys in and be like, not yet! You know, stay on target! Stay on target! And then... Go bluey, and it was a nice little fireworks show when watching all those drones go like couple am. So yeah, that was actually really cool. I don't know. What about yourself?
I can't remember who did this. Maybe you can remember. But the guys who brought three Abaddons,
wasn't that Goons?
I don't remember. I must admit, if it was Goons, troops.
Did they get lost?
Basically, I don't fly armor, but I love the Abaddon model. I love the ship. I love the sight of this going in full broadside. Mm-hmm. And just the three of them in a line. It was like something... the way I likened it is like, you know, the Age of Sail, sort of Nelson in the Victory. Yeah, a lot line of battleships just firing a massive broadside simultaneously. Of course, it's lasers and spaceships and stuff, but just the sight of it, I just thought was absolutely glorious. And it's also a very, very powerful tactic for breaking down spider tanks, because the alpha you get over that many megapulses is just horrible.
Yeah, that was... Okay, that wasn't Goons... Oh, who the hell was it? I do agree. The Abaddon is a great ship model for looking broadsides because all the lasers are in a nice big row. So if you set them all off at once, it's just this nice big fan of laser fire, especially when you got a bunch of them going. It's very impressive.
Well, not just that, but if you're zoomed in, you can actually see the lasers stepping back with recoil. But you won't get recoil with lasers, but I digress. To me, just the sight of that is pretty glorious.
You do an Eve where lasers recoil. I know the one you're talking about, that was very impressive. But that was the one where they blew the hell out of the Guardian in like 6 seconds, right? The second they locked him, they just primaried the crap out of him, and it was just, it was down.
As I said, yeah, the alpha strike you can get out of that kind of ship, any kind of chain tanking, is going to really struggle to cope with that.
Well, you can't, because you're not, like, your cycle speed isn't quick enough to offset all that stuff. It was just like nuke, and it was down like... Like, it had to be in under 10 seconds, if I recall. It was really fast.
Very, very impressive for whoever did that, then.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. God, I'll have to look back through my screenshots and see if I caught that moment. But it was that was a good one, too. So, yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, in terms of cinematics, the Abaddon is a great ship. To be honest, I don't fly one, I don't fly armor. But if I did actually consider doing this, is just starting a new character from scratch, just concentrating on armor, just so I could fly the Abaddons after I first saw them. But basically, I don't have enough time to play my main character as much as I'd like. So
yeah, I'll be honest. I've often thought about the MR option as well for a second character. Just because of that, I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting to try out sort of the race that hardly anyone plays. But
they look great, though, don't they, the armor ships? And I know you say zoomed out, and I know I'm always zoomed out as well, but even so.
Oh, no, I love them close up, too. Abaddon's just beautiful model. But one of the other neat things that I like to see, and you didn't see too, I don't think you saw these at all in the last tournament, or at least very, very few, but seeing a lot of Hyperions in this one too, which are really fun, because those are like really close range, you know, blaster boats essentially. And there was like there was one match that was really cool. It was like, oh, what was it? There was two Hyperions versus two Megatrons, and that was really wild. Because, I mean, I think they're all four were fitted out with blasters, so it was basically like, you know, whose logistics team was on the ball more than the other one. But that was just fun watching, like, you know, basically four web battleships just bashing the hell out of each other with blasters. So those are kind of fun fights as well.
Yeah, and, definitely.
And I think the hard part about watching those ones is that there's usually, like, two fights. There's that one, the one's happening with the battleships, and there's usually, like, a logistics stuff going on with, like, all the frigates and stuff that the other teams are deploying. And it was a tendency to ignore that, just to watch the battleships wailing on each other. But, so, yeah, that was kind of an interesting one, I thought. It was a good match.
Okay, then, cool. And now on to, like, the EVE TV broadcast. I mean, have you found it?
The broadcast...
They kind of picked on you guys a bit, didn't they?
Well, first off, the production of this EVE TV has been 15 out of 10. I mean, it's been amazing. Like, the actual, like, video production portion of it. They had some hiccups on day one. Big surprise, that happens every time.
Yeah. Nature of the Beast. They had some sound issues, but they solved them.
It solved them pretty fast, and even though people were going ape on the forums about it, I mean, people need to kind of relax about that thing, really. But I mean, it was an excellent production so far. I like the picture-in-picture replay business. That was kind of cool. That's new for this tournament.
It's a bit small to really see anything, though.
True, but it's a nice thing to have, just, you know, as a visual cue, just when they're talking about the fight, to have some of the interesting moments from that match running. Even if you can't see it, it's kind of nice watching the pretty kabooms. But maybe part of that is, of course, the fact that streams aren't necessarily, like, really uber high quality, you know, for viewing. It is over the interwebs. But it's, yeah, so, like I said, the production stuff has been pretty top-notch. I've been having no problems at all watching them. Props to the team.
Yeah, some people were having problems.
But, I mean, in terms of...
That was nothing to do with CCP or the streaming company. That was because there was actually one of the main routers went down.
Yeah.
If you go to internet speed test, you can actually see the graphs of this. And I think it gypped the BT network for quite a bit of Saturday. So,
yeah,
these things happen, guys.
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, it's a cool service. Even if they got the odd hiccups and stuff, they address them way smoother than prior tournaments, you know, like the first few and stuff were...
Well, with the Jalipo stuff, yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty tight. I've been pretty impressed. And I think the one nice thing about this is that they're giving people the Windows Media Stream, which has been what people have asked for forever. And they added that, of course, you know, to other tournaments before. It's usually not necessarily been there at the start. But it's cool that that's there. And they've been really...
To be honest, though, I think if they tried to go back to the Flash player with Jalipo, people would be flying over to Iceland to tar and feather them now.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that and also the fact that they've actually got... They do have the Bright Cove player that's running there, and they've been really quick at getting the, you know, the day's fights edited and on the web for people to watch who may not have caught them. So that's pretty cool stuff. So, like I said, mad props to the production team, you know, people like Loxie and everyone else who's working really, really hard there. They did a great job.
Can I point out something, though? And I don't know whose fault this is, so let's not blame Loxie or anybody like that. Like, you know, they go for the 40-minute break halfway through. Mm-hmm. And I understand why you need to have a break there. You know, it's planned, you know, you can catch up if matches are behind, you give the guys a chance to stretch their legs, get something to eat, get some water inside them, because it's very hot in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But put something on there, seriously, don't just have a clock counting down, you know, and, you know, spending money streaming it the whole time. You know, put something on there, you got a ton of clips from FanFest, or you can film some stuff in the CCP offices, you know?
Yeah, I could agree. I mean, for me at least, anytime that was on, I was like, okay, I'll be back at whatever time, and I literally tuned out and went to do something, because I'm not going to stay there staring at a clock.
A lot of people probably wandered away from their computers but left it running, and obviously you get charged for streaming this stuff. You don't just get bandwidth for free, people. CCP are paying money for this.
Yeah, well, hopefully they learn from it, but yeah, I mean, it's nice to know sort of how long it's going to be before the thing starts up again, but they could put something better in there. Yeah, I agree. They had some marketing videos on there, but of course they're kind of at a funny angle and they're small, so it's not even full screen. So I guess that bit could have been done a little bit better.
And well, the other thing is, like, when you get a match going over very quickly, and they go back to the studio, which is fair enough. But then it's like, you know, you've got like maybe 25 minutes before the next match is on, and it's just crying out for a little bit of pre-record segment, a little package to drop in there.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, highlights from last tournaments or something, you know, something interesting.
There are so many things you could put on, or, you know, little bits from FanFest.
They've got
the weekly show as well.
Well, I mean, they've got how many FanFests worth of video material going? Like, two solid FanFests? I mean, they were at both, the last one and the one before.
There was actually some videos up. I don't think it wasn't Eve TV did it. They actually got some Icelandic dude in for the FanFest before that. So yeah, I mean,
right. But I mean, like, these are things that are available for them to actually put up. I mean, you don't have to do anything fancy. You just cut in some segments, show people what they might be missing. It's a good spin up for marketing for the next one that hopefully CCP will be putting out material for soon in terms of dates. But I agree. There could be some better stuff there, but we'll have to see.
So what do you think of the experts?
Experts, so far, somewhat of a mixed bag. Knowledgeable as always, these guys. You know, obviously, like, people like Eds and Verone. The old standbys, as I will call them. These guys are, they're veterans of EVE TV, period. They're veterans of EVE. They've been around for a long time. They're very active players. So they know what they're talking about. So that's
Verone,
pretty good.
Verone always does a really good job. Eds, obviously, knows his stuff and talks a lot of sense. But I think he's been a little bit subdued. He's not been the completely arrogant guy we really got to love on the last one, you know what I mean?
To some extent, I mean, they have newer people on, like Ninja Turtle, who has done, I've been thinking to be a phenomenal job so far, where you get, like, he's doing research and stuff on, you know, it looks like he's really kind of looking at who's competing, you know, keeping track of things. He's got a lot, I think, he'd like to say. I think it's his first outing for an EVE TV thing, so, and especially for a tournament thing, it's his first commentary type stuff. He's done pretty good so far. I think there's been some overpowering of him in terms of, like, when he's been commentating, that, you know, I think there's been a few too many occasions where I've been like, oh, he's got something interesting he's going to say, and then someone cuts him off. That I kind of hope will kind of not happen too much, because I mean, if it's your first time out, give the guy a chance to you know, say some stuff. So that's kind of one of the things that has kind of bugged me a little bit on that stuff, because I mean, like I said, fresh faces, fresh perspectives, he's got things that might be interesting to say, give him a chance. So there's been, I think, some slight overshadowing in terms of, like, people who have been there several times over some of the newer people. But I think everyone's been doing a pretty good job on that so far. The commentating has been kind of a mixed bag. It's good in that, you know, they're giving a good overview of what's going on. I think they could probably be doing, like, for some of these things, it's probably old hat for these guys, but for the brand new players who are tuning in and getting a chance to see this kind of combat for essentially the first time, admittedly it's not real PvP, but, you know, like, in the sense of how it occurs in the game, but you know, they could probably be doing a slightly better job of just kind of, like, maybe explaining exactly what they're seeing happening. And I know that's not always easy for them, because the tools that they have available to them don't necessarily offer them the, you know, the best view of the action and stuff, but I think they're doing a pretty good job for what they've been given in terms of tools. So far, so good. If I had one kind of major complaint, it would be just almost like just the negativity in a lot of ways, like, you know...
Well, against MC, I mean...
It's not even against MC kind of thing, and I know, you know, people will yell bias, but it's just in a general sense, just because a competitor comes out, tries something different, or tries something standard and gets their asses handed to them in a fight, doesn't mean that they should be harped on like they are. And like I said, I'm not specifically talking about the MC thing, although that's part of it, but in general, if you're a competitor to these things, you know, you're putting a lot of time and effort as a team to come up with a setup that you think will work. Okay, it doesn't work because through the magic of how you got matched up with whatever other team you got matched up with, it was like a complete, you know, completely not what you needed in that situation, and they got slaughtered. Well, don't, you know, there's ways of approaching that. Don't slam the door in their face as like a complete failure and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, these people are human, for the love of God. I don't know, I just thought that there was ways of doing the commentary that would be a little bit more, you know, provide a more positive spin, suggest alternate loads, what might have, you know, worked better for them in their situation or whatever. Just, you know, put it out there at least that it's not necessarily their fault that they lost the game. Don't, you know, keep coming back to it every 10 minutes about how much of a failure it was. It just seems kind of... I don't know. I know how I would feel if I was a competitor in the match. I would probably, to be honest, not be watching the video at all. Like, not, I don't mean like even during the matches, I mean afterwards. Just seeing how they're sometimes treating some of the teams, that's kind of been one of the things that's kind of stood out for me a little bit.
Anyway, if you would like to be watching the final day of the tournament on a really big screen, 16-foot screen, will you join me and loads of other cool EVE-type people, including people like Mr. Benelopax, in Amiga Sector, which is a state-of-the-art gaming center right in the middle of Birmingham, UK. I'll put links to them on my thread in the show notes, but it's dead easy to find this place. It's right by Birmingham New Street Station, so if you can possibly make it, I would strongly advise you to be there. We've even got X-Man doing a gig with all his decks and stuff from the club after the final match has taken place and after the broadcast has finished. So, you know, sit down, get a beer, if you're old enough, of course, watch the matches, talk EVE. It's going to be good. Get your ass over there.
That definitely sounds like a lot of fun.
So, homework assignment. Last week, I picked Gattaca and got a ton of people saying approvingly that they really, really liked it, which, you know, I say thank you because, well, it is a great film. And I'd like to just call out Mr. Farscapel, 3Ls, Farscape 3, possibly, you know how good I am with names, who said he'd never seen it, but he actually found it in the library and checked it out and thought it was really cool. He posted on the Virgin Worlds page. So, glad you liked it, sir, and everybody else. Did you watch it, and did you like it?
I have seen it before. I didn't get a chance to rewatch it this week, but it is an excellent, excellent movie. It's one of my favorite kind of relatively obscure sci-fi movies. Not a lot of people know about it, oddly enough.
Well, a few more know about it now, which is great. Anyway, what's your choice, sir?
For my choice this week, it will be a TV show, which is 2 seasons long. Both seasons are available on DVD, but it's called Dead Like Me. Have you watched this?
Rings a bell.
It's a couple of years old now, I think, around that. But this is possibly one of the best TV shows ever made, to be honest. This thing, according to Wiki, this was running 2003-2004, and it got canceled, so it was only the 2 seasons so far. But it's about a girl who dies in the first episode and becomes a Grim Reaper. She gets tapped to become a Grim Reaper to go around and, like, helping people, like, basically, as Reapers, they basically run around and they get these really obscure hints at when someone is going to die and, like, where. So they get, like, a location and a date and time. And they have to go and figure out sort of who it is. And they have to tap them on the shoulder to sort of pull their soul out before it happens, ideally, so that they can actually, like, save them the issue of dying, because it's traumatic and all that stuff. But it sounds like such a weird show, but it's really... really funny. This ran on HBO, so if you get this on DVD, like, you're gonna, it's, they don't hold anything back. There's like swearing and all sorts of. It's a really dark comedy, but it's funny as hell and has some of the best characters in a TV show I think I've ever seen. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
No, not really. I was thinking of something completely different. So, okay, I will have to look up that one.
Yeah, there's apparently been another show, I can't remember what it was, that sort of kind of was along the same lines more recently, and it's kind of, I don't know, it does not have this kind of charm. Honestly, hands down, one of the best TV shows in terms of comedy dramas, and I hate television in general. Except for very specific things, and this is one of them that's just absolutely great. So if you can find it, Dead Like Me, there's season one and season two. Definitely awesome if you like really dark comedies, and even if you don't, it's funny as hell.
Okay, and it's only £15 on Amazon, so one click time, there it goes.
Awesome.
What else have you been playing this week? I've been playing Eve with any time I've got, which hasn't been a lot. What about you?
Eve...
And I've been here mourning the loss of the iPod.
Yes, well, yeah. No, God, I can't. Well, see if there's anything major I've been playing. Nothing much, really. I've been playing a little bit of Team Fortress and a tiny bit of Company of Heroes, getting back into that, which is just a great game. But I got some buddies of mine who just now discovered it, so they're like, we got to play Company of Heroes. So we started messing around with that a little bit, and. These guys do not do real-time strategies very well. They get frustrated, so it's like I had a squad of troops, took out one of my buddies' armor with Panzerfaust, and he was like, screw this crap, and like didn't want to play it ever again. At any rate, yeah, that's really, you know, for the most part, Eve, like 95%. This is kind of rare. Usually we're always playing something else.
Alright, fair enough. Anyway, community news. Tankor, we mentioned this before a little while back, has produced his own maps, and he has a few of these going around, but he's actually updated it, so you can see how long various people have owned systems for. Which I think is pretty useful, actually.
Interesting.
Oh, I certainly think so. So, for example, I am now looking at... I'm now looking at ATT, which is Inquirius, right? And that is owned by Imperial Republic of the North for 3 weeks and 4 days, and contains a Conquerable Refinery 2 in it, apparently, as the outpost. So, yeah, that's probably quite useful for strategic planning type things.
Interesting, actually. Alright, I've heard of this from somebody, but I haven't actually seen it. You'll have to pass me the link sometime.
Yeah, well, it's actually in, just if you go to tanks... or.org, TANX0R.org.
Yeah.
It's easy enough to find, links in the show notes as before. His maps can be a little bit difficult to look at, basically because, you know, it's all coloured in. You get all little triangles to explain systems and who owns it and stuff. You can turn off different alliances, though, which is quite useful. Mm-hmm. However, my advice to him, if he is looking for advice and if he listens, if you do just some sort of general outline, like some of the other maps, to show who owns what, just, you know what I mean, just a sort of coloured outline around, you know, different bits of space, because virtually every single system is, you know, an alliance is going to be linked to one of their other systems. You know, you get the occasional outpost in the middle of nowhere, but 99% of the time you're going to have, you know, them grouped together. So how about that? Would that be a plan? I think so.
Oh, this map. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I remember this one. This has been out for a while. I guess he's been improving it slightly. I guess if I had my only issue would have been just the choice of colors, but I guess how do you choose unique colors for everybody? That's kind of a challenge.
What else he's done with it, which I've just spotted and didn't see before, is you can actually select specific regions, and, you know, you'll get a close-up zoom on that, which is actually very useful. So, for example, I'm zoomed in on Fountain now, and I'm looking at the Bruce stuff and the Pure stuff and our friends from Sons at Tanaga stuff. So, yeah, I haven't seen that feature before, I must admit, sir, but it looks pretty good, that one, actually. So, yeah, good work, Tanksaw. Keep up the good work, sir. And, yeah, little coloured outlines and a few more obvious names, and you'll be spot on.
Ooh, one other thing that's also there is he's got the real security rating as well, if you hover over a star. It'll tell you actually what the actual security rating is, because if a lot of people don't know this, but just because something's rated 00 doesn't mean that's just all it's rated. There's actually varying degrees of 0.0, and he's got them listed there.
Yeah, that affects things like NPC swarms, as I believe it.
Yes, yeah. The lower that real security rating is, the chances are better that you're going to get nastier and nastier rats. So the differences can be quite profound, actually, from one system to another. So that's a cool handy feature, actually, for those who are interested in ratting.
It also affects things like complexes and stuff.
Yeah, your scanning content and all that stuff. Like, yeah, what the kind of stuff you're going to be finding if you are into scanning down things like that. Yeah, yeah, it does affect a lot of things. So, yeah, cool feature. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't work on Empire Space. You can't hover over and get a real security rating there.
That's because that is, I think, if I recall correctly, it's... there's something with that. God, it was like how there, it doesn't really matter because it doesn't gain you much.
Well, it matters if you start getting shot, you know, by goons.
Yeah, I suppose so.
They'll do it anywhere they want, won't they?
Yeah. Let's see. Are we done with this one?
Yeah, let's move on to the next.
Alright, the next other thing is Eve is now finally on Steam for downloading. This was promised by the end of February, and it did come at the end of February, on February 29th. Which, they're lucky, you know, it's a leap year thing going on there, so there was a February 29th. But pretty cool, under the gun, they managed to get it out. So I guess we should welcome all of our potential new players that have now swarmed in from the masses on Steam.
You can get, if you want to, a free 21-day trial of it. And the actual game is $14.95 to download if you want to do get your subscriptions.
Yeah, and... if I remember correctly, that this is actually something that, even though you're installing the trial, you can still play it, obviously, with your full accounts, because it is just a regular EVE client. So it's nothing kind of fishy going on there, and it's not like the game itself operates through Steam, it's just a client delivery system in a way.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have a Metacritic rating on it, which is quite annoying. Because they've only got two reviews, I guess. Well, EVE Trinity is being reviewed, and they've only got two reviews for it, and one's Finnish. So obviously their opinion can and will be ignored.
Well,
I'm kidding, La Vista Vista, don't hate me for that. Oh no, he's Danish, not Finnish. He'll probably approve of me saying this.
I'm sure someone will mail you a flaming bag. Let's see, what else is going on?
Yeah, but anyway, according to these, the average rating is 88%, which is pretty good. User reviews have got 9.3 out of 10 on the Metacritic, which is also good.
And that's if you put any stock into point scoring anyways, but that's a whole other discussion altogether.
Yeah, so let's not go there.
Another goofy thing, well, during the last couple days of the tournament, day 2 and 3, I didn't get a chance to do it on day 1 because I work, but I was graciously allowed to attend the matches of the EVE tournament in person in my Helios, cloaked mysteriously, watching the fights and taking pictures. The idea was to basically photoblog the whole, photoblog the action and put them up for everyone to check out, which I have done on my Flickr, and I have organized them into separate day sets and stuff. We'll link, I guess, in the show notes to the collections. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do this for the finals. I have a scheduling conflict, so I'm not going to be able to make it out for those. But I hope people enjoy the stuff that's there, and I actually still have the pictures up from last tournament as well, if you want to see... I guess it'd be an interesting engine comparison. Do you want to see how dual logistics looked back pre-Trinity versus post-Trinity? Now you can. So anyway, I hope people enjoy that. It seemed to get some pretty good responses from people that I talked to. So yeah, it was really good. And I guess I'd like to extend a thank you to the GM team for not only bringing me out there, but also harassing me like crazy during the breaks, which nobody got to see on TV. But yeah, those Legatus frigates are quite nice, especially when there's a whole bunch of them swarming you.
Well, yeah, because I wasn't listening there, basically. I was reading the forums.
Oh, nice. Good job.
I think so. Something we should pimp, which we haven't done for quite a while now, is Eve Tribune.
Oh, yes, Eve Tribune. Yes, they just put out one today or yesterday or something, a brand new one.
Yep, it's number 9, isn't it? Or 10?
There's a brilliant article in there on nanos. That was good stuff.
Nano, 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 mushroom, mushroom,
and snake! Oh, God.
Rattlesnake! Nano rattlesnakes are evil.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should get...
That is a very much an expensive toy. That is a rich man's game, flying speed tanked rattlesnakes. But they are evil.
Indeed. Yeah, it was actually a pretty funny article, and that was, I'm going to butcher your name, Syaphis Kane? Feel free to correct me on that. Yeah, it was a really great article, especially the last few paragraphs. Yeah, some brilliant commentary there. But it was good, and actually exposes to, I think, a lot of people who may not be aware of what the hell the big deal is with nanos. Well, this kind of will give you a decent window into that whole thing and why they're so much fun.
Yep, so very good. There's also a good article on Sinofields, jump drive, stuff like that, how you do logistics. All very, very good, and every single Eve Tribune is worth reading cover to cover, or the internet equivalent, whatever that is. So head over to eve-tribune.com right now.
Immediately.
Or we'll steal your birthday cake.
Throw it in the toilet.
You're just going to tease me about this to the day I die now, aren't you?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Well, I'm sure that everybody listening is going to tease me about this as well, but hopefully I'll be able to get away with trying to blag it with that.
I will give you mad props for going public with this. A lesser man might not have done so.
Well, to be honest, you know, humiliation is stock of my life, quite frankly, and...
Yeah, well, I mean,
everybody's got a claim to fame in Eve or something quite humiliating. So, you know, you've got Remedial Naked, yeah?
Oh, God.
You've got Kieran in his kilt.
You look pretty good in that kilt. Not like that way, but I'm saying it suits him.
You've got Hilmar's ginger mullet, which turns into a ginger bouffon times.
Oh, man. Mullets.
And then you've got my iPod toilet combination.
Indeedly.
Everybody is just going to remember me. I think everyone's going to be waving their iPods at me at this party on Sunday.
I don't think anyone's going to let you anywhere near their iPod at this party on Sunday.
Let me just borrow that for a minute.
Yeah, can I see that for a sec? And then go head for the bathroom. Oh, no! Some guy will just chase you down. No, you know, like I said, it's pretty impressive that you actually came in public with that. At the very least, you'll give us a window into Apple customer service to your experiences with them, because I've heard they can be quite interesting.
Whether we can blag it or not, is that what you're talking about?
Indeed.
Okay, is that it for this show? Oh. New Drone Bay coming out from Crazy Canucks and Crovan and Al.
Drone Bay actually is out right now.
Oh, yes, it is. It's gone to Virgin Worlds. Indeed, it is out now. And what's more, they're on iTunes, which is even sexier.
Yes, indeedy.
So, yeah, make sure you go and check that out and add that into your iTunes right now. Links will be, well, in the show notes to Virgin Worlds, that bit of it. So, and I believe there will be a Warp Drive Active Industry cast coming out soon, and I believe you were helping out on it.
I believe I have a line on an intro of some kind. So, but yes,
what is
that
it with all intros, like everyone's doing intros these days.
It's, I don't know, they're pretty fun. Like, you know, something different.
I did an intro for Jonathan at the Online Gamers Anthology over at Virgin Worlds as well.
Yeah, you're saying.
Yeah, and it was... Well, I thought I did a fairly bad job at it, but they seemed to quite like it. But maybe it's just Americans being polite.
And on that note...
And on that note, I think that's all we've got time for.
I think it is.
So, yeah, thank you to everybody for listening. On your iPods, you bastards.
Oh, man. Poor Urban. Yes. But, yeah, thank you very much for listening.
See you next week.
Flush safe-ish.
You bastard. Space Pirates!